O come, Emmanuel. For four Sundays of Advent now, if you were at a Mass other than this, we would be singing that hymn as our entrance song. But nevertheless, our focus this Sunday is truly on Emmanuel. God is with us. Just as Isaiah had prophesied 700 years before our Lord that God would send a Savior, a Messiah, he would be Emmanuel, God with us, so Christ came. We know that he will come again, but this Christmas we prepare most intensely this last week of Advent for that coming of Christ into our own hearts and our homes. The key here is our gospel passage makes us focus on the beautiful mystery of the Incarnation that we're preparing to celebrate, that Jesus Christ, true God, second person of the Holy Trinity, consubstantial with the Father, entered this world becoming true man through Mary, who was totally sinless, who had conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a great mystery of our faith. This is why we are Christians. Consider, though, because of this, we look to Jesus to find out who we are. Christ raised our human dignity to something greater than even Adam and Eve had in the eyes of God. We look to Jesus, who perfectly revealed God's truth and God's love. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We look to him because only he could offer the sacrifice for sin that transcends time, forgiving not only the sins of his time, the sins of the past, but the sins of us right here and now. Through his resurrection, he has opened the gates of heaven. He has ascended to prepare a place for us, so conquering sin, suffering, death itself. So this is all part of the Christmas package, the Christmas gift. And so truly, we pray, O come, Emmanuel, dwell with us. But there's a key here in our gospel passage today, and that is we focus, too, on a man named Saint Joseph. So here we have the Annunciation scene. In Saint Luke's gospel, the focus is on Mary, the Archangel Gabriel coming to her to announce her chosen position. But in the gospel of Saint Matthew, we have Saint Joseph, because he is essential. And he helps us prepare this last week to truly celebrate Christmas. Now, poor Saint Joseph sometimes is forgotten. Sometimes he's portrayed as this withered up old man, hunched over, like he's ready to fall into the crib at Christmas. Even the Magnificat, of all things, displays old, crippled Saint Joseph. God help us. And then we have Christmas cards that forget Saint Joseph. Like I received one, and here you have Mary, little baby Jesus, there's a shepherd in adoration, and somehow on the side, there's an arm here. Well, the arm is Saint Joseph, because he was cropped out of the picture. Can you believe this? So poor old Saint Joseph doesn't get credit for what he has done. But he is essential, and that's the key. Think first of who he is. His name means, Joseph, God will add posterity. So through his fatherhood, Jesus will be protected. Jesus will found a church. Saint Joseph is the guardian of the church. Saint Joseph, too, is of the lineage of Abraham and David. So in a way, he's bringing to a close that old covenant made with Abraham, a covenant sealed by the blood of circumcision, to set the stage for the new covenant made by our Lord that will be sealed by the blood of the cross. He brings to a close that old kingdom of David that was a physical kingdom of Israel, to set the stage for the new kingdom of God, which will be made visible by the church. And so Saint Joseph has this very prominent role. Saint Joseph, too, is the one who was righteous. So he's right with God. He was a holy man. Granted, Mary was free of all sin, but Saint Joseph, despite original sin, was a holy man, filled too with God's grace. Well, given that, we go to our passage in the gospel today. Here we have Saint Joseph, who is engaged to Mary. Keep in mind, in Judaism, even today in Orthodox Judaism, marriage is a two-step process. There is what is called the kiddushin, where bride and groom are blessed by the rabbi. They make their intentions and known, and they really give their consent. So this is a marriage, but it's really, in our ideas, like an engagement. It will be several months, even a year, before we have the second part, which is the nuasim, which is when the groom with his groomsmen go to the house of the bride, with waiting there with her bridesmaids, take her then to his house and consummate the marriage, and then live together for the rest of their lives. Two-part ceremony. Well, Joseph and Mary have had the first part, the kiddushin, and so they are considered legally married, even though they have not lived together as husband and wife. All of a sudden, Joseph discovers Mary is with child. Now, the gospel says he found that she was with child by the Holy Spirit. We really don't know what's happening here, but poor Saint Joseph must have been overwhelmed with confusion. Like, what is happening? What is going on? What's my role to play? But he did know that according to the Torah, he could not really be the father. So he was going to break that kiddushin promise of marriage and let Mary go away quietly. If he had made it public, according to the Torah, Mary would have been stoned to death for adultery. So Saint Joseph, with his poor broken heart, is trying to do what is right in the eyes of God. That night, we presume the archangel Gabriel came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, this is what's happened. Mary's conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you are to take her and her child into your home. And that's what he does. He responds so wonderfully to that message. Here then we see how important, how essential Saint Joseph is. Because without him, first of all, Jesus would have been a nothing. Remember, it is Saint Joseph, 8 days after the birth of our Lord, as the good Jewish father, who has to take Jesus to the rabbi for the circumcision. There he holds little Jesus in his arms. He pronounces the name Jesus to be given to him, meaning Yahweh saves, and the rabbi performs the ritual. But without Joseph, Jesus would have been less than a slave in Roman society and an illegitimate nothing in Jewish society. Saint Joseph is essential. But he's essential for other reasons too. And I think Archbishop Fulton Sheen captured this well, that Joseph had to be that masculine example for our Lord. After all, he's true God who became true man. He has to learn how to be a man, how to have good masculinity. He learns that from Joseph. So Archbishop Sheen said this, Joseph was probably a young man, strong, virile, athletic, handsome, chaste, and disciplined, the kind of man one sees working at a carpenter's bench. Instead of being a man incapable of loving, he must have been on fire with love. Young girls in those days, like Mary, took vows to love God uniquely, and so did young men, of whom Joseph was one so preeminent as to be called the just. Instead, then, of being dried fruit to be served on the table of the king, he was rather a blossom, filled with promise and power. He was not in the evening of life, but in its morning, bubbling over with energy, strength, and controlled passion. Beyond being the good masculine example, because of Joseph and Mary, Jesus learned about married life, about family life. He saw in particular the role of a husband and a father. For Saint Joseph, as that good Jewish husband and father, is the one who led the family in prayer every morning, every night, before meals. He made sure they went to the synagogue every Sabbath. He made sure they went to the temple in Jerusalem for those special celebrations of Passover. Think how important that is. For you fathers, your children need to see you be a leader in prayer. Beyond that, he's the one who taught Jesus how to read so that he could read the Torah. And then Saint Joseph was the good carpenter. Think of all the lessons our Lord learned. Because in those days, carpenters did all kinds of things. They built homes. They repaired roofs. They made furniture. He would have seen Saint Joseph made that yoke for the oxen that we hear of in the gospel. Or maybe the crutch for the cripple that we hear in the gospel. Saint Joseph had a tremendous impact on our Lord's life. Granted, tradition holds that before Jesus began his public ministry, Saint Joseph passed from this life. What do we learn then, this last week of Advent? First of all, take some time for silence. Saint Joseph doesn't say one word that's recorded in the gospel. How could he? Here he is, married to Mary, who's free of all sin, and Jesus, who's the Word of God incarnate, truth incarnate. Why open your mouth? You might be wrong no matter what you say. But anyway, poor Saint Joseph was silent. Take time for silence. In our busyness, especially with all the things that surround Christmas, this week, find time for quiet and quiet prayer. Take time for solitude. Maybe come here on Thursday, because I know the schools are out, and be before our Lord that we'll have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, and pray. Think about what Christmas is about. Think about your faith, this great mystery of the Incarnation, and what Jesus has done for us. Secondly, too, think about your own righteousness. So Advent's that time of preparation. Are you truly right with the Lord? Has there been that time for self-examination, repentance, and confession? How can we celebrate Christmas if we are not right with the Lord and filled with grace? And lastly, consider, too, your own vocation. We think about gifts. The best gift to give at Christmas is a gift of love. So for you husbands, then the best gift you can give to your wife is to be the best husband you can be, and vice versa. For wives, to be the best wife you can be for your husband. For parents, to be the best father or mother you can be for your children. And for children, to be the best child, honoring and respecting your mother and father. For the young people here, especially teenagers, think about what God may be calling you to do. Saint Joseph pondered. He responded. Never be afraid. Saint Joseph responded quickly to our Lord. He knew that whatever the Lord asked him to do, he would always have the strength to complete the mission. And same for you. God may be calling you to a special vocation. Don't be afraid. Open up your heart. The Lord will always give you the grace you need to accomplish the mission, to succeed. And so, yes, we find then that the gift isn't going to be something that comes from the store, but rather the gift is going to come from our heart, which is much more. Take time to have that silence, to ponder, to consider the righteousness, to consider the vocation of life. And so we say, once again, O come, Emmanuel. Come, Jesus, dwell in our hearts and our homes this Christmas. May God bless you.